The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, so welcome. Salamun alaikum, peace and salutations of God be upon all of you, dear friend. You choose today's special from IRIB English Radio to listen to, and we're going to speak about life after death in Islam. Today, Wednesday, is the 3rd of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. for blessing this moment of today's special. We'll listen to chapter Al-Imran, verse 185.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Every soul will taste death, and you will only be given your full compensation on the day of resurrection. So he who is drawn away from the fire and admitted to paradise has attained his desire. And what is the life of this world except the enjoyment of delusion?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Most people are willing to forget their mortality, but this is a reality that even if we forget it, the death will never forget us. The important thing is that the material world and its pleasures do not become the ideal and the final goal of man. Otherwise, using the material world and its merits as a means for attaining the human development not only is not the blameworthy, but also is necessary and essential.
I'm so confused, tell me what's happened. So many voices in my head, but he told me that this day will come. Tell me, have I done enough? Yada be. Now my book's gone and closed, all my deeds are for show. So I lie here and wait for that day.
In this series of today's special, we're speaking about life after death in Islam. Muslims believe that the present life is a trial in preparation for the next realm of existence. When a Muslim dies, he or she is washed and wrapped in a clean white cloth, usually by a family member, and buried after a special prayer, preferably the same day. Muslims consider this a final service that they can do for their relatives and an opportunity to remember that their own existence here on earth is brief. The question of whether this is life after death does not fall under the jurisdiction of science, as science is concerned only with classification and analysis of sense data. Moreover, man has been busy with scientific inquiries and research in the modern sense of the term only for the last few centuries, while he has been familiar with the concept of life after death since time immemorial.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we know, nobody lives in this world forever, so death comes to everybody. Another stage is that all people will be pushed ahead to a certain place for the jobs to be calculated, to be judged. I mean, the jobs in this world will be judged on the day of resurrection. So we find that not only our jobs, but even our thoughts, I mean, even our momentary thoughts and decisions will be taken into account, okay? So everybody is expected to be very cautious about, what to take, what to do, what to avoid, or what to invite other people to do. Because according to the Holy Quran, all people will be resurrected and will be judged according to their own religious scriptures and religious instructions. Now we find that if the record of someone is given to him or her, to his or her right hand, it means that this person is felicitous, or is going to be regarded as a finally felicitous person. But woe unto those people to whom the records will be given to their left hands. And here right and left have metaphorical meanings. So here right means, felicity, and left means disappointment and going to the hellfire. Another aspect or another stage is the moment of moving, walking on the Sirat bridge.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Today another stage for the life hereafter, Qiyamah, Judgment Day. Belief in the Day of Judgment is one of the basic principles of the Islamic creed and of almost all other creeds, including primitive non-divine ones. Such belief is innate, natural, instructive, deeply ingrained in the human nature. Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, "The Jesus, son of Mary, asked Gabriel once, 'When shall the judgment day be?' Gabriel shook till he fell on the ground conscious, and he lost his consciousness. When he woke up from it, he said, 'O Ruhullah, Spirit of God.'" The asked person does not know about it more than the questioner. It has been narrated that whenever the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his family mentioned the judgment day, his voice would change and intensifies, and his holy face would change color. There are many acts of salvation that can help during this terrifying day about which so many chapters and verses of the Holy Quran warn. For example, one who recites Surah Yusuf every day or every night will be resurrected on the judgment day as beautiful as Yusuf used to be, and he will not be overtaken by the greatest fright of the judgment day.
والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لنبوئنهم من الجنة غرفا تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها نعم أجر العاملين.
From among the means to prepare for the final journey, we reach to good manners. Good manners is considered to be one of the most important objectives of the faith of Islam and one of the best good deeds in the sight of Allah the Almighty. In addition, it is the cornerstone in the administrative and commercial systems and any other successful system in our modern world, be it with Muslim or non-Muslims. Good manners are required in every age and place. No doubt, good manners occupy one of the greatest positions in Islam, as the Prophet is reported to have said, "I was sent by Allah to correct the sublime morals," as if the Prophet summed up his entire divine mission in this matter.
In one amazing hadith, the Prophet says, one of the best forms of ibadah, one of the best acts of worship is to what? To remember death. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, in one hadith says, if you remember death 20 times a day, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect you with the shuhada, with the martyrs. 20 times a day. When you think of death 20 times a day, you think you will commit those sins. You'll backbite, you'll watch that haram film or movie or scene. Listen to music. Harass your parents. Be untruthful to others in society. You think you'll do that if you really think about death 20 times a day? It really keeps us in check. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect us with the martyrs. Now, why is it that we despise death? Why do we hate death? In one hadith, Al-Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam, he says the reason why we despise death or hate death is because we are ignorant of it. We have no clue what death is and what death represents. That's why we hate it. It's very natural. Otherwise, if you know what death is and you've kept yourself prepared for death, then you should be willing to embrace it when it comes to you. And then he gives a beautiful analogy. This analogy is by Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He says, for the believer, death is like removing, taking off dirty clothes and putting on new, fancy, wonderful clothes. And for the unbeliever, to the contrary, death is like removing fancy clothes and putting on dirty clothes. But the Imam says, for the believers, you should look forward to it. Don't be afraid of it. But the reason why we're afraid of it is because of our sins.
Dear friend, that was all with today's special about life after death in Islam. Of course, just for today. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic. So, till another episode. We leave you in Allah's protection. Fi aman Allah, and have a nice time.
From those around, I hear a cry, a muffled sob, a hopeless sigh. I hear their footsteps leaving slow, and then I know my soul must fly. A chilly wind begins to blow within my soul from heaven. And then last breath escapes my lips. It's time to leave and I must go. So it is true when it's too late. They said each soul has its given day. When it must leave its body's core and meet with its eternal fate.
Food for thought. Hello everyone, on threshold of the blessed birthday anniversary of the heroine of Karbala, the Holy Prophet's granddaughter, Hazrat Zainab Kubra, peace be upon her. Here is a statement from her on the God-given status of the Immaculate Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. By God that He has honored us with revelation of the book, with prophethood, and His approved by students.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As we mentioned previously, faith or belief is something that is manifested in our actions, in our demeanor, in our ethics, in our body language, in our facial expressions. All of it can be a sign of faith. What does this person believe in? What is the source for these actions? Is there a source for these actions? And so on and so forth. And what also must be realized, that faith is not something that is, you know, set in stone. And every person is different. What we mean by this is that there are levels of faith. This is also clear from the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. That faith has levels. Not everybody who becomes Muslim, not everybody who says La ilaha illallah is the same. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the faith of the Imam, the faith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cannot be compared to anybody. Even though the Holy Prophet believed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for example myself, I believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah. I am Muslim, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Muslim. But his faith and my faith, as they say, you know, is the difference between the earth and the sky. And the vastness and the difference between the two. So in this tradition, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to indicate that even though there are levels of faith, there is also a particular type of faith that is the best of faith, the afdal. But even amongst this afdal, if you really go into the tradition and analyze it, there are levels within the afdaliyah. There are levels within the best. So there's the best and there's the better. There's a better than the best, if you want to say it like that. So in this tradition, Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the best of faith is to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you wherever you are. Be alone, be in school, be in at university, be it in a plane, be it in a bus, be it in a train, wherever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. And as we mentioned, there are other discussions that can be had in this tradition, especially, for example, where the tradition says that an ta'lam, that to know. What does ta'lam mean? Unfortunately, we do not have time to get into it. But ilm itself, as we mentioned previously, has three levels. So we can see that when I mention that the best of faith has levels itself, it deals with this concept of knowledge and of knowing and of ilm. What type of ilm this person has of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to expand on this tradition at some other time. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always we're joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, dear brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be joining you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we're going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So, please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al. He was an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1947. When he turned 12, he had managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely. At first, he followed the style of Sheikh Abdul Basit and Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, just like many other beginners. But very soon, when he was only 13 years old, he invented his own new style. And that is one of the points that makes him stand out among other famous Quran reciters. In 1980, the Egyptian radio and television started to record and broadcast his recitations, and that was the time when his powerful voice was heard from beyond the Egyptian borders. He traveled to many Arab and African countries in the Islamic month of Ramadan to recite the Noble Quran. In 1992, he was invited to the Islamic Republic of Iran as the referee of 18th International Quran Recitation and Memorization Competition. He traveled to the Islamic Republic of Iran several times, and the last time was in 2014, just 1 year before his death, and he performed a beautiful recitation in the holy shrine of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. He passed away in 2015 at the age of 68. May Allah bless him. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Taha, verses 17 to 24, recited by Sheikh Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
And what is that in your right hand, O Moses? He said, This is my stick, whereupon I lean, and wherewith I beat down branches for my sheep, and wherein I find other uses. Allah said, Cast it down, O Moses. He cast it down, and behold, it was a snake moving quickly. Allah said, Grasp it, and fear not. We shall return it to its former state. And press your hand to your side. It will come forth white without any disease as another sign. That way we may show you of our greater signs. Go to Pharaoh. Verily, he has transgressed.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما تلك بيمينك يا موسى قال هي عصاي
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to with recitation of verses 17 to 24 of Surah Taha, recited by Sheikh Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In terms of maqamat, Sheikh Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al is using maqam Sika, one of the branches of maqam Sika, which I do believe it is Iraq, which is a combination of Bayati and Sika, if I'm not mistaken. It could be another branch of Sika, but anyways, it is one of the branches of maqam Sika. It's not the Asli Sika, it's not the main Sika, it's one of the branches of it. Okay, Sheikh Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al is reciting using the method of Warsh An-Nafir, the riwayah of Warsh An-Nafir. There are certain differences between Hafs and Warsh. For example, the first difference is in the word Musa. He doesn't say Musa, he says Musa, which is called Taqlil. Taqlil takes place whenever there is a ya which is not pronounced. A ya with aliful mad, where the ya is not pronounced, okay? Only the aliful mad is pronounced. For example, Musa, we have a ya with no dots,
and the aleph is just above it.
And the aleph just right above it, exactly. So we disregard the ya and we only pronounce the seen with a aliful mad that is pronounced with taqlil. Taqlil is also known as imalatu sughra, which means that it's 50% fatha and 50% kasra. It's in between a fatha and kasra. We have other words as well, such as tas'a, ule. These are all ukhra. These are all imala or taqlil, which we have in Warsh as well as some other riwayas.
And it takes two vowel counts, I think, not one.
Yeah,
it's just something like, between alif ul mad and ya ul mad.
No. Yeah, that's right. Whenever it's a long vowel, it's yes. In between alif ul mad and ya ul mad.
Yeah, and whenever in Musa, it's a short we have vowel, something like that.
Yeah, actually, we only have it in the long vowels.
Yes.
Yes. So then he says فَأَلْقِيهَا. This is another extra ya which is not pronounced with the alif, the small alif above it.
So here we have taqlil again.
We have taqlil again. But in the phrase حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى we have إِخْفَى نُون ساكن. So here there's no difference between Hafs and Warsh. You have to apply ikhfaf nun sakin in the exact same way for both of these two riwayas. And that is by approximating the place of articulation of ta. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى. You approximate the ta. You hint the place of articulation of ta while at the same time you make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. قَالَ Qala, we have tafkhim of the qaf because qaf is a letter of istirla.
What does istirla mean?
Would you tell me, please, what istirla means?
Literally, yes, it means seeking a higher position.
Yes, that's right. And in practice, istirla means that the root of the tongue is raised when pronouncing the letters of istirla.
Yeah, the thing that seeks the higher position is the, root of the tongue.
Yes. And whenever that happens, whenever the root of the tongue is raised, we will have a thick sound.
Yes.
Okay? Tafkhim, which means thick thickness. Or dense. It is the result of raising the root of the tongue.
Qala.
And we have the highest level of tafkhim in this word. Because we have an aliful mad after the qaf. So basically, tafkhim has different levels.
Five levels, actually.
We have five levels. Aliful mad, fatha, dhamma, sukoon, and kasra.
The
lowest level.
Lowest level. Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbak wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak Allahumma inni as'aluka su'al khadi'in mutadallilin khashi' an tusamihani wa tarhamani wa taj'alani بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were talking about the four requests of Imam Ali alayhi salam in this part of the divine supplication of Kumail. Imam Ali alayhi salam states, اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع O Allah, I verily ask you with the asking of a submissive, abased, and lowly man, and to samihani, to have forbearance, وترحمني, and to have mercy on me, وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا, and to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment, وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا, and to make me humble in every state. In the previous program, we said that modesty is a great moral virtue, and it is modesty that helps human beings reach spiritual positions. We had two kinds of modesty. Modesty before Almighty Allah, which meant accepting all His orders, and modesty before the people, which was respecting and helping the people and trying to forgive others' mistakes. We were trying to have a look at modesty in the Holy Quran. It states, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ The house of hereafter it is. نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا We shall give it to those who intend not high-handedness or mischief on earth. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ And the end is best for the righteous. Or the other verse of the Holy Quran which states, أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ Is there not in hell as abode for the haughty? Haughty means the people who are arrogant of themselves.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you. And grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me. And cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme and who supplicates his needs to you and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
We had a look at some of the verses of the Holy Quran related to modesty. We can have a look at modesty in our traditions. It is narrated from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who said, مَا لِي لَا أَرَى عَلَيْكُمْ حَلَاوَةَ الْعِبَادَةِ How come I don't see the sweetness of worship in you? They said, What is the sweetness of worship? And the Prophet sallallahu replied, التَوَاضُعُ modesty. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, After pointing out the modesty of previous believers before Allah and other Muslims, advises people and says, وَلَكِنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ كَرَّهَ إِلَيْهِمُ التَّكَابُرِ The Almighty made them disfavor pride, وَرَضِيَ لَهُمُ التَّوَاضُعُ and favored modesty for them. فَأَلْسَقُوا بِالْأَرْضِ خُدُودَهُمْ وَعَفَّرُوا فِي التُّرَابِ وُجُوهَهُمْ So they touched the earth with their faces for showing service for Allah. وَخَفَضُوا أَجْنِحَتَهُمْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ And they showed respect and modesty to all of the Muslims. He also states, عَلَيْكَ بِالتَّوَاضُعُ Befriend modesty. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْعِبَادَةِ Since it is a great worship. So the true believers, the true Muslims, know that in modesty there is both mundane and worldly benefits as well as the benefits for hereafter. About the true meaning of modesty, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "التَوَاضُعُ أَن تَرْضَى مِنَ الْمَجْلِسِ بِدُونِ شَرَفِكَ Modesty is contentment with your seating position, which may not be according to your position. وَأَن تُسَلِّمَ عَلَى مَن لَاقَيْتَ Modesty is that you say hello to everyone you see. وَأَن تَتْرُكَ الْمِرَاءَ Modesty is that you avoid arguments and discussions. وَإِن كُنْتَ مُحِقًّا Even if you are right. وَرَأْسُ الْخَيْرِ التَّوَادُعُ. Modesty is the core of every goodness. Now, let us end our discussion in this program with a tradition from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. He said, إِنَّ أَفْضَلَ النَّاسِ عَبْدًا مَنْ تَوَادَعَ عَنْ رِفْعَهُ. Surely, the best people in worship are those who are the most modest ones and are in the highest positions. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling, he would say,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Before we deal with the law of istihada and fluid discharge, which is the topic today, and inshallah in the upcoming episodes, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Sistani.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzumah Sabzawari and Sharh Ashraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in fiqh and usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about the laws on istihada, and you also, of course, according to Ayatollah Sistani's system of rules and laws, Islamic laws, and you talked about different types of istihada. And we already covered in the previous episodes about a few of the rules and laws, ritually speaking, about